See this lady right here? Give thanks to God for her.
Amen.
1966, Laura and I moved to Dover, Delaware. We started a church with two Air Force families. Starting there in January is when we got there. Those two Air Force families already bought a house and they were meeting. And we went there to help them. And we met in our house for 2 years. And we have 100 people come to see us about breakfast time on Sunday morning. It was not unusual for 100 people to be there. But you know what we did not have? A pianist. First year we were there, a family drove from Chester, Pennsylvania, down to Dover, Delaware, in a Volkswagen, five kids, a mom and a dad, in a Volkswagen, and she'd play the piano for us. And it was just an amazing thing. But then they moved, and we didn't have a piano player, and we'd sing a cappella. You know, it was something unusual. Then God brought a lady that played the piano about like I do, but she hit a few right keys occasionally. And I'm just thinking of what Brother Jim just said a moment ago. Well, I was sitting here on this front seat and listening to you. And boy, you sound happy. And then I was thinking, we need to be thanking God that we're just able to assemble here.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to come in today and attack us. We're not going to be put in jail because we're meeting and preaching the gospel and people are getting saved. That's not going to happen here. And yet there are places in this world that it does. So we've got so much to be thankful for. Open your Bibles, please, to two places. Turn to the book of Genesis chapter 12 and then the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And when you find Hebrews 11, that'll be our second one that we read. Good to see you here today. We're going to be talking about obedience. Some of you have grandchildren that have Patch the Pirate songs. Do you sing them? Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And that's all I know of it. But it's a great little song. Patch the Pirate wrote it. Good song. Genesis chapter 12. Would you stand with me, please, for a reading of God's word? Look at verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Here's the first command. Abraham, get out of your country. Second command, get away from your kindred. Third command, get away from your father's house unto a land that I will show thee. God did not have to give him a roadmap. God did not have to answer the question, why? Question many of us ask when God begins to deal with us, why? He didn't have to answer any questions. Abraham just simply obeyed. Look at chapter 11, book of Hebrews. Look, if you would, at verse 8. By faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Look at verse 8 again. First two words, the same together. By faith. Look at the last word that we just read. Obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Boy, I'll tell you, he had faith in God. And he went out not knowing whether he went. He just simply trusted God. He obeyed God. And he moved by faith. Look at me. Here is one coin. Head of that coin is faith. The tails of that coin is obedience. Obedience and faith are one coin. Two sides of one coin. They work together. We believe God, we trust God, we obey God.
Amen.
Let's talk to the Lord. Hold those two scriptures that you have there. Father, we're so grateful that we can assemble on this Sunday morning as a congregation for the preaching of the Word of God. We're thankful for this assembly of saints. And God, we're thankful that Brother Mike is in Kansas teaching and preaching today. And we pray that you would fill him with your Spirit and enable him to very clearly present the truth that you've been teaching him out of your Word. And Father, we do pray for Brother Preston today, taking a very short vacation with his family. Been under a lot of pressure, been a lot of work. And God, would they be able to just simply rest and be refreshed. And God, I pray for those that, I think of Joyce Klein. God, would you comfort her after the death of her brother. And God, I thank you for Wayne Pickett and ask you, God, that you'd give him healing and restoration and give Ruth the strength to care for him. And God, we're just grateful for what you've been doing in Jonathan and Kaylee Jamoke's life with that precious little Aurora. God, we're praying that you would just continue to answer the prayer of this congregation. Father, we're thankful for the great love wherewith you've loved us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. We worship you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. We read some commands. Look at verse 2. Here are some promises. The Lord, Jehovah, is speaking. And he says, I will make of thee a great nation. Promise number one. Promise number two, I will bless thee. Promise number three, and I will make thy name great. Promise number four, and thou shalt be a blessing. Look at verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall, now listen to this statement, class. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Every nation, every people, every family on the face of the earth is going to be blessed because of Abraham. Now look at me. What does that say about me? I am going to be blessed because of Abraham. What does it say about you? You are going to be blessed because of the blessing that God gives to Abraham. Look, if you would, at one more. Verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Amen. What you do can bring blessing in your life. In this instance, you bless Abraham, his children, and my friend, you are going to have the blessing of God upon your life. But notice this next statement. And curse him. Look at me. A curse is not using profanity to speak about somebody. It's not cussing them. It's cursing them. And cursing them, when a person is cursed, they are, the person who curses them is expecting that supernatural powers will bring evil into their life. And God says, and this is God speaking, he said, those that curse you, those that speak evil of you, and those that expect supernatural evil to come into your life, I'm going to send supernatural evil into their lives. What unusual statements made by God. Look at verse 4, first three words. So Abraham departed. Look, if you would, it again to Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Look at verse 16. I'm going to use this just a bit later, but look at this. And now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I hope that I get back to this point and am able to give you a statement that you need to have fixed heart in your... Well, let me give it to you right now. Class, God is responsible for your acts of faith and obedience to bless you. Obey God and leave the consequences to Him. Obey God's word and leave the consequences to Him. Hope that will sink down into each of our hearts, and that we will make a commitment that we will, by faith, obey God. Obedience to God. And when we obey God, God is responsible. And here's what he says. Now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly country. And I added that word there, of course. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God is going to bring into their life the results, the consequences of their faith, their obedience. You think of Abraham. He was living in a heathen country, a country where everybody worshiped idols and demons. And yet, God had come to him. And God said to him, you're to get out of this country. You're to get away from your country or from your kindred. You're to get away from your father's house. And you're to go where I send you. And here is a man that he had not had a preacher. He had had Holy Spirit conviction, but he had no instruction. And yet, Abraham obeyed God. Class, understand today that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, amen, according to the grace that is in us. He is able. By faith, obedience. Abraham obeyed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Last week, Brother, what's our Sunday school teacher's name? Gilbert. Look, if you would, at Genesis 15:6, just for a moment. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And he mentioned something that I had never thought of, that this was the place where Abraham got saved. His salvation. He believed God, and he became righteous through his faith. And you and I are made righteous through our faith. You know these scriptures by memory, but listen. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen to verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You and I are made righteous in God's sake, in God's sight, by what we believe, not by what we do. It's not our performance. that determines our righteousness. It is our faith in God that determines that righteousness. This last week, visiting the hospital, walked in, here's a young man, had one of the prettiest coats of red hair I've ever seen in my life. 17 years old, sick, a very sick young man. When I asked him, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And he said, I want to, but I don't have that assurance. I gave him the salvation story. Was interrupted, had to leave. Told him, I'll be back in about an hour. When I got back in an hour, the nurse was working with him. His grandmother was working with him. I had an appointment at another hospital, so I had to leave. The next day, I go in to tell him about the Lord and ask him to be saved. And that young man, 17 years old, turned to Jesus Christ from his sin and in faith and believed, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That moment, by his faith, he was made righteous in the eyes of God. Amen. My friend, think about that. It's not his performance. It was his faith. Amen. By faith, he received Jesus Christ into his life. I think of obedience. Have you made a commitment to God that you will obey Him, that you will do what is, that you will just simply do what He asks you to do, one step at a time, one decision at a time, but it's a lifetime decision to obey God? I would remind you that our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. As far as the heaven is above the earth, so are God's ways above our ways and God's thoughts above our thoughts. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. An unsaved man, a person that does not have faith in Jesus Christ, the things that you and I believe about God, that God has taught us, the natural man, the unsaved man rejects. They're foolish to him. But my friend, you and I, by faith, can obey what God has asked us to do. Obedience to God is a lifelong commitment. It's not something we try. It is something that we do by the power of God. We do because God enables us. Think of it. I mentioned this in a Sunday school class a few months ago, in this class, that Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of a virgin. In that womb, he was dependent upon her umbilical cord to feed him. After he was born, he was dependent upon her breast to feed him, her hands to clean him. He was dependent upon Mary. This is the God that created heaven and earth. This is the God that spoke the world into existence. This is the God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, but he is now dependent upon a woman, his mother, Mary. And my friend, I want to remind you today that after he became an adult, after he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. His dependence became on the Holy Spirit. And you and I are to have that same dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God. We are not to try to obey. We are to look to the Holy Spirit and ask Him and trust Him to enable us to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. We're not to try. We are to depend upon the Lord and trust Him for help. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Latter part of verse 5. He, the Lord, hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Class, listen. Living in your body is the living God. And He is not there as an observer. He is not there as a judge. But He lives inside of you for the purpose of helping you do what God wants you to do. You receive Christ, and the Holy Spirit moves in, and He is your helper, and that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You're saved. Heaven is your home. And my friend, living in you is the eternal God, and He is there to be your helper in your time of need. Amen. The book of Romans. Chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We each one have to confess today, I do not know how to pray as I ought. People ask you to pray for them. And you want to pray for them, but there are so many times that we do not even know what to ask for. But the Holy Spirit does. And He lives inside of you to help you in your time of need. Amen. Obedience to God is a lifelong commitment to allow the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to do what is right in the eyes of God. Lifetime commitment to obedience is a commitment to obey God's rules and allow Him to rule every decision that we make. Ask Him, depend upon Him, look to Him, trust Him to give us direction and enabling for obedience. Not just to try, but to pay any cost that God requires. For Abraham, Abraham, get out of your country. Abraham, get away out of your father's house. Abraham, you go to the land that I will show thee. And Abraham steps out paying the cost. No roadmap, no explanation, no instruction. Obedience. Faith and obedience that came from faith. Obedience is a commitment to obey God and yield the control of our life and our decisions to the Holy Spirit of God. We ask Him to enable us to bend the knee and the will to His direction for our lives. Bend the heart. God, we want Him to bend the heart. God, we want Him to bend our will. Listen to Jesus. Book of Luke, chapter 22, please. Read with me. Luke 22. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking at verse 39. And he, Jesus, came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Listen to his prayer. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Class, hear me. That commitment to obey yields control of our life and every decision to the Holy Spirit, to God, that He would bend our heart and bend our will to do the will of God. Amen. The commitment to obey is never complete as long as we have one decision that we have set aside in our closet to make that decision ourselves. It's reserved for me. I'm going to make that decision. And as long as there's one decision that is not yielded to God, we have not made the commitment to do His will, to obey His word. Commitment to obey is only revealed when you and I have committed sin. And when I sin against God, what happens at that moment? If after I say, well, it was just small. It didn't amount to anything. It wasn't big. And my attitude is not one of repentance. That reveals that the commitment to obey God has failed. When we justify it, our sin, when we cover our sin, when there's no repentance, no confession, that commitment to obey has failed. Amen. When you and I sin, when I sin, if I do not change my habits, to prevent the failure of disobedience, that commitment has failed. Listen to Romans chapter 13. Make no provision for the flesh to obey the flesh. Make provision to change habits, change lifestyle in order to be faithful to the commitment to obedience. When we sin and we're more concerned for the failure or more concerned for the consequences, if it's more concerned about the consequences than the fact that we failed, we have revealed by that concern for consequences, not failure, we have demonstrated that that commitment is not finished, is not final. We still have not yielded to God. Have I committed myself to obey God? I want you to look at Genesis 26. Look at verse 4. Look at Abram. God is speaking to Abram, and he says, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now God is speaking to Isaac, and he says, this is what I'm going to do for you, Isaac. Verse 5, this is the reason I'm going to do it for you. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. Because Abraham obeyed me, I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham thy father. Verse 3. Verse 4. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed, Isaac, all these countries. And in thy seed, Isaac, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because of the commitment to obedience that Abraham made when he left Ur of the Chaldees. Obeying God without anyone to teach him except the Holy Spirit, without anybody to go with him except Lot. And Lot shouldn't have gone, because God had told him, Abram, you leave your kindred. And he takes Lot with him. That's a reminder of something else. Abram's obedience was imperfect. And class, I would remind you today that your obedience may be imperfect, but the commitment still is a deal that you've made with God. Don't quit. Though it's imperfect obedience, do what God wants you to do. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. I think of this curse I spoke to you about it a moment ago. When someone expecting demons to help bring a curse upon you, speak a curse to you as a believer, you have a bit of immunity to that curse, unless you are controlled by fear. What we fear, devils of hell have the authority to bring into our life that which we fear. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Let's talk to the Lord.